Here's Andy Udman.
I'm going to play you an audio clip, which I think has all of North America, if not half the world, really, really focusing on an issue. And then I want to talk about what the issue really is.
This is an outrage. We are killing each other. And we're the only industrialized country in the world doing it.
Killing each other with guns. So far, the talk has been all about guns. I don't want to talk about guns this morning. I want to talk about what causes mild-mannered people like Adam Lanza to, for lack of a better expression, blow a fuse and lose it. I am looking at a list of kids, other Adam Lanzas, Eric Harris, you will remember him, Dylan Klebold, Columbine, killed 12 students and one teacher and wounded 23 others before killing themselves. Klebold's medical records have never been made available to the public, but there's a long list, pages here, of mass school shootings and other incidents where the other Adam Lanzas of the world took drugs. Was it their mental issue that caused them to go berserk, or the drugs they took to counter their mental issue? Think about it, and then let's chat. Pam Colleen is in this morning. We're going to talk about this very, very jolting issue. I want to welcome Pam this morning. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Andy.
Because, Pam, just before we go to a break, the one figure you and I were just discussing, we think of Adam Lanza as an isolated person. And yet, a recent survey right here in the London area showed, oh boy, do we have an issue with young people and mental issues.
That's right. The Thames Valley School Board, the teachers did a survey and said that over 25% of our kids today have some sort of mental disorder. So we have a tsunami on our hands here. We have to deal with this problem. And just by focusing on labels is not going to solve this issue.
25%? Mm-hmm. That's absolutely frightening. What is a mental, in the definition of the mental disorder as used in that survey? Everything from?
Well, they could be fidgeting. They could be, you know, squirming in their seats. They may not be paying attention. Anything is possible in terms of the diagnosis.
Right up to the most serious case of an Adam Lanza.
Mm-hmm. That's, of course, the extreme. But we have to identify where these instabilities are coming from in the first place. We have to first accept the fact that they're not normal, and we have to see where they're coming from. And that's why I look so much at nutrition.
Any Adam Lanzas in Ontario?
Listen, we've seen in Quebec, for example, we've seen a couple of instances.
We're going to take a short break. We're going to get into this, and we welcome you to be part of it. 643-1290. 25% of our kids with some kind of mental disorder. Are you concerned? And what about the role of antipsychotic drugs? Does it make it better? Or in many cases, as this list, pages and pages I have in front of me, make it worse? Very sobering subject. We'll be back with that in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
This is an outrage. We are killing each other. And we're the only industrialized country in the world doing it.
When I heard the news about Adam Lanza and this shooting spree, my first reaction was, oh my God, here's another person who was taking psychiatric medications.
The Eli Lilly Corporation, pharmaceutical company, for nearly 15 years covered up their own internal investigation that showed that anyone on Prozac is 12 times more likely to attempt suicide.
If you go to Warren Kinsella's blog and look at it right now, the top thing on his blog is that all gun owners should burn forever in hell.
I come to offer the love and prayers of a nation. Mere words cannot match the depths of your sorrow, nor can they heal.
Thank you all for attending today's hearing. I think it's an important one, and it's to look at the potential relationship between psychiatric medications and suicides.
Drugs damage an already damaged brain. They're not helping the situation. They're making the situation worse.
Andy Udman, in the chair along with Pam Colleen, I'm holding in my book. I didn't want some expert from some other city this morning. I said to Pam Colleen, I got to talk to you about this. You wrote a book on this years ago. It's called Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. Common Sense Solutions for Our Number One Health Problem, author Pam Colleen. Pam, I keep coming back to that figure. 25% of our kids have some kind of mental issue. We have seen such a barrage of these mass school shootings, and now Adam Lanza. We have a lot of attention focused on this, and yet a lot of the attention is focused on the guns.
Well, the guns, they're talking about a label that he had in terms of having a mental illness. But I'm saying we need to look at the root cause of the problem. Let's ignore what the media is saying and what the experts are saying. And we need to solve this problem at a grassroots level because we're not getting the real story from the top down. I study people's biochemistry and I do nutrition. I know what needs to happen in terms of stabilizing somebody's nervous system, in terms of stabilizing their brain. It's not rocket science. It's very simple to understand this. Unfortunately, most people are looking behind the wrong door in terms of what's causing this root behavior. And so what we're doing in third, fourth generation of children on a low-fat diet is we're ignoring the importance of animal fat and how that influences the mood.
Pam, I'm going to jump right in because I know right now people are saying, Pam isn't making sense. She's blaming a lack of animal fats for this shooting in Connecticut. What does that have to do with that?
Well, when you're not feeding your brain properly, it's hard to make good decisions. You walk around in a brain fog. You're angry all the time. You're going to have potential issues like psychosis. I mean, it's anything is possible. When I'm working with people who have been on a low-fat diet, universally when I'm working with these people, they have depression, they have fatigue, they have sleep disorders, they have anxiety, they have a gamut of mood issues. And when you then replenish their bodies and give them the animal fat that they should have been eating all along, their moods improve. It's a cause and effect relationship.
It's a real stretch for some people to wrap their mind around. It is for me, too, and I've done these shows with you for the last few years because you have suggested, you know, maybe one of the approaches we ought to take with our inmates in our prison mm-hmm. is feed them better so they're getting the proper nutrition. But we obviously, let's look at your book, Addiction. The hidden epidemic. Why the words, the hidden epidemic?
Well, it's the elephant in the room. People don't want to talk about it. It's a dirty word, right? It's associated with lots of shame, lots of guilt. People look at individuals with addictions as having a personality flaw or some sort of moral defect. These are people who are biochemically imbalanced. If you, and doctors can't do this. They don't have the technology to do this. But if you truly look at their thyroid function, their adrenal function, their blood sugar, their digestion, if you truly look at these systems and see how they're malfunctioning, it's no wonder people are in a bad mood.
Not only in a bad mood, but with 25% of our kids here in London, Ontario, just Google the report in the London Free Press some months ago. This is a teacher's survey. This is something we need to deal with. Now let's move from the whole nutrition aspect to how we're trying to solve the problem, being naive about what causes it, through drugs. What is the role of these drugs like Prozac, like Ritalin, like Zoloft, and so many of the other.
Well, they're duct taping a biochemical imbalance. They're duct taping the problem and causing the problem to be worse. If you look at the work of Dr. Peter Breggin, who authored the book Medication Madness, Robert Whitaker, who has been basically chronicling the rise in mental illness in society today as a medical journalist, he wrote the book Anatomy of an Epidemic. What we're seeing is that these drugs are damaging an already damaged brain, that if these people hadn't been taking the drugs, that they probably would have been way better off. And the pharmaceutical industry there's no tracking system to show any improved outcomes because of these psychiatric drugs.
Folks, if you think Pam Colleen is way out there on a limb, let me play you a clip. Film producer Michael Moore, who makes exactly the same connection between mental issues in our kids and these mass school shootings and the drugs that we're giving to some of these kids on the long, long list of these antipsychotic drugs and their role in these mass school shootings. Let's listen to Michael Moore.
Imagine what that would do. Imagine how people would totally rethink things, grasping for every little straw they can to explain why something like Columbine happens, when in fact it may be nothing more than this. How else do you explain two otherwise decent kids, very smart, no history of violence to other kids in the school? Why them? Why did this happen? It's an extremely legitimate question to pose, and it demands an investigation.
Wow.
Yeah, when he did Bowling for Columbine, he didn't know about the connection between the psychiatric drugs and that devastating outcome.
Might these two decent kids of Columbine not have committed this horrendous crime if they hadn't been taking these antipsychotic drugs?
Very strong likelihood it would not have happened. Dr. Peter Breggin, he just testified for a case out in Western Canada, out in Winnipeg, and the judge ruled that it was the Prozac that caused a 16-year-old boy to kill his friend.
Let's go to the phones. David, you have a comment.
Thank you very much for addressing this, because I think it's a very, as you say, the elephant in the room, but it's very brave of you folks to really talk about it on the radio, so thank you very much for that. I have a limited understanding of this, and I kind of go back to that very first Batman movie when all those people got sick, and Batman figured it out that it wasn't just the tainted hairspray and deodorant, it was the combination of so many different tainted chemicals. Do you think there's some sort of validity to that sort of simplistic approach, Pam? Because some people are going to be affected by these drugs more than others, and I don't think that's ever taken into consideration when the prescriptions are given.
That's right. When I'm working with people's biochemistry, you can see a difference in terms of how weak or how strong they are and how they can deal with chemicals versus not deal with the chemicals. So it does have a lot to do with the individual and how they synthesize these chemicals. But the long and the short of it is their biochemistry is a mess. When I look at their thyroid, their adrenal, their blood sugar, when I look at their digestion, they are weak individuals. And then you add another chemical in the scene, and unfortunately, you see this kind of reaction.
What about deficiencies in serotonin?
Well, that's too simplistic. We have to ask ourselves, why would somebody not be producing neurotransmitters properly, and why aren't they communicating properly? So we have to look at things like copper toxicity, for example. Copper is a highly conductive metal, and it's very easy to be copper toxic today. And so copper happens to love to lodge in the brain, and of course, if you have too much copper, it's just going to cause these neurotransmitters to misfire.
I have to jump in. David, this sounds like it's an issue that's personal for you.
No, not especially, but it's certainly something I'm very aware of.
Absolutely fascinating topic. We're going to be back with Pam Colleen on the other side, and we welcome you to join in. What is the relationship between our teenagers with all of these mental issues? 25% of our kids, according to a teacher survey here in London. What is the role of Prozac and Ritalin and Zoloft and all these other drugs? Do they make the problem better, or do they, as there is so much evidence to suggest, make it much worse and, in some cases, dangerously so? We'll be back with all of that in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
This is an outrage. We are killing each other, and we're the only industrialized country in the world doing it.
When I heard the news about Adam Lanza and this shooting spree, my first reaction was, oh my God, here's another person who was taking psychiatric medications.
The Eli Lilly Corporation, a pharmaceutical company, for nearly 15 years covered up their own internal investigation that showed that anyone on Prozac is 12 times more likely to attempt suicide.
And folks, as I'm talking to you, I'm holding in my hand an email someone just sent me with a long, long list of stories where young people who were dealing with mental issues and were on antipsychotic drugs did horrible things. 15-year-old Kip Kinkle, to share a couple, was on Prozac and Ritalin, shot his parents while they slept, then went to school and opened fire, killing two classmates and injuring 22 shortly after beginning Prozac treatment. 16-year-old Luke Woodham, Prozac, killed his mother, then killed two students, wounding six others. A boy in Pocatello on Zoloft in 1998 had a Zoloft-induced seizure that caused an armed standoff at his school. And if you've been listening for the last few minutes, we played that clip of Michael Moore saying, we have to check out this connection between these antipsychotic drugs and this wild, explosive behavior. How long is this list, Pam, of these kinds of incidents involving antipsychotic drugs?
I mean, pages and pages of people that have been on these shooting sprees. And that's my first reaction every time. Dr. David Healy, whom we interviewed back in the spring, he wrote the book Pharmageddon. When he was interviewed just the other day, he's very suspicious that we're going to find out that this individual was taking a psychiatric drug. It's still not confirmed at all in the media, but I think that's what we're going to find out eventually.
Wow. 643-1290, if you want to join the conversation. John, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Andy. No, I just wanted to say that we have a child with autism, and sometimes we go to seminars and that, but the CPRI Institute there in London, the so-called specialist was running the thing, and the only thing that he would say would help these kids are these drugs. And it's so wrong. It's so bad. And the schools, too. Oh, if the kid's a little bit different, oh, they got to go on to a drug. It's so bad for these kids. It takes away all their true gifts. And there's so many things that can help these kids besides drugs, and our own society will not admit to it.
John, I love to hear it from a parent. I love opinions, but I love opinions even more when they're based on reality and people who, like you, are dealing with this every day. Share with us what you're going through and how real this issue is with our kids.
Well, the thing is, these kids don't have to have these drugs. There's always underlying issues that need to be addressed. Our child who has autism has never been on a drug and never will be, because if there is something wrong, you have to search and find what the underlying issue is.
Have you been pressured by doctors to use some of these drugs, like Prozac or like Ritalin or like Zoloft?
Well, they just know that we would never go there, and I think it's been brought up, but it's just an absolute no.
Pam, would you just engage John on this issue? I mean, John sounds like a very strong person, but a lot of parents would do whatever the man or woman in the white coat said they should do.
That's right. A lot of people wouldn't second guess the doctors. And a lot of people trust the pharmaceutical industry, even though their first and primary obligation is to please their shareholders. They're not doing this for their own goodwill. They're not doing this to help us with our health. The pharmaceuticals' whole raison d'etre is to create profits. So we're not as discerning as we need to be in terms of their intentions. We're not questioning their methods. We're not questioning the science that they're producing, which is not real science. It's marketing-based science. It's not real science. When they're not forthcoming and bringing the raw data to us so we can actually police the raw data to see if their conclusions are correct, it's all top secret. There's something very wrong with that.
John, are you concerned that, or do you think that in this case of Connecticut and so many of these other incidents, that the whole role of these antipsychotic drugs is either being ignored or, heaven forbid, suppressed by the mainstream media?
Well, it's absolutely been suppressed. I mean, why has there been so many rumors that I've heard that he was on a drug called Fanapt. Now, you can go look up the side effects to that, but whether he was on it or not, it needs to be looked at. And that's the bottom line. And anybody who has their child on a drug, please look up on the internet on the side effects and question yourself, why are there side effects?
And I will say that Dr. David Healy, he started a website where people are recording their side effects, including violent behaviors. And the website is www.rxisk.org. That's rxisk.org. And I will say that Dr. Healy is scheduled to be on the show in January.
John, great call. And
yep.
our hearts go out to you. But at the same time, we give you a high five and applaud you for resisting some of this advice for these easy chemical solutions, which can have catastrophic results. Jerry, what's your story?
I think I have the ultimate, Mr. Goodman. My daughter died because of two doctors prescribing a prescription which should not have been taken together. Now, before I go on to that, I want to point out one thing. One-third of Canada cannot work or do not have access to a computer. But all I've heard is websites, lock on the zip bop, tittle, tittle, tittle. Is there a phone number you can call? And if there is, why not say it?
No,
so my daughter had a nervous condition, and she prescribed to drugs, and she got a second opinion. And it used to be you can do that faster than John Wayne can draw a gun. Well, now you can do it faster than a doctor can write a prescription.
Jerry, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Maggie. Maggie, go ahead.
My daughter, my grandson has been asked to be checked over possibly for ADD and Ritalin and the whole bit. And my daughter's, she's gone to the doctor, refusing to do Ritalin, wants to look into other options and explore and what to do. Pam, do you have a book that talks about the animal fats in relation to children and what we can do for our children? I would like to be able to get something for my daughter to help her on this journey, because she is looking seriously at alternatives.
How old's your daughter, Maggie?
It's from my grandson who's six.
Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the reason why I wrote my book, Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. That book was written for the children because, unfortunately, we're turning our children into addicts today. And we need to prevent this problem by feeding them properly. So I talk a lot about nutrition. I talk a lot about children. I talk a lot about what we need to do to prevent this issue in my book. And I think Chapter South has copies available. Otherwise,
okay.
Yeah, otherwise Amazon probably does.
This is one way she can get onto it. And I know she's exploring natural ways of trying to work this without doing anything like that. And what the doctor was adamant in saying, okay, Ritalin, that's it.
Well, 100 years ago, I have a book, it's 100 years old. 100 years ago, when children had learning and behavior problems, they would take these children out of schools, not to discipline them, but to nourish them. And what they would do is give them more red meat in the diet and more butter in the diet. And after 3 months, after the children started leveling off their moods, they would go back to regular schools.
And Maggie, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Pam has been there herself in terms of some of these issues with her health. And,
I've been following Pam on your show forever.
So awesome.
I know the story.
And, wow. And chronic fatigue, that's what I had for years. Chronic fatigue, the nickname for it, is adult autism.
Wow. Maggie, we have to leave it there. I want to play a clip, if you would, Pam, just explain Dr. Richard Bregan, who he is. And I don't want to play a clip of him on this issue.
Dr. Peter Bregan, he is a psychiatrist who is an outspoken critic of pharmacology. And Dr. David Healy is another psychiatrist who is criticizing the overuse, the abuse of these psychiatric medications.
Okay, Ryan, if we could, a clip of Dr. Bregan, audio's soundbite number 9, if we could, on this very issue.
The German equivalent of our FDA have become concerned that they were finding an increased suicide rate on studies of Prozac. So they asked Eli Lilly, and this is back now in the late 80s, to go back and look at all of their clinical trials and report to them on the rate of suicide attempts in the controlled clinical trials with the drug versus placebo. Lilly found, depending on how you count it, a 6-12-1 ratio of suicide attempts, not just thinking, attempts, in the control group compared to placebo. Lilly never made it public. They never gave this report that I found to the Germans. They never made it available to the FDA.
So it's shocking, Pam, not only what the drug companies are doing, but how we don't to find out about it.
Yeah, they're not being forthcoming. It's top secret to get to the raw data. And that's what we saw two weeks ago. We did the show on Tamiflu. And Roche is saying, oh, we can't find the raw data. Somehow it's disappeared, vaporized, the dog ate it. Where is all this raw data? And Dr. David Healy is frustrated as well. He's wanting to find some of the raw data on some of these drugs, and he can't get it.
Wow, let's go to the phones again. David, go ahead.
Good morning, Andy. One thing I'd like to point out about the Columbine boys, I did read the book about that, and to let you know that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were not the sweethearts and the kind kids that everybody were talking about. They are, in fact, were well-known, reported to police for over a year. So their conduct and their threatening behavior was actually well-known, but whether they were on any kind of drugs, no one will ever know. But I think what we can clearly see is that for young people today, and even older, there's a smorgasbord of factors that come into effect, whether it's the social issues, the peer pressure. But no question, the drugs alone, factoring in with all the pressures, especially young people are going through, it's a match to gasoline. All you have to do is watch any commercial for a young person or old person. And then here at the end, all these potential side effects. I think a lot of us, I certainly was born in 1960, have a little bit of the white-collar syndrome where you actually believe that no doctor or no pharmaceutical company would ever place any of us in harm's way. But we're clearly finding out that that is not the case. And I just don't think parents have enough information or at least accessibility to real information. And that is, to me, the problem. I just think it's tough enough to be a young person, a teenager. Then you factor in illness. Then you factor in potentially weapons. It's just a nightmarish cocktail, Andy.
David, I appreciate the
call. I have a great quote from Dr. John Abramson on that issue. It's in my book, and he's the author of the book Overdosed America. Now, here's a medical doctor from Harvard saying, the drug companies invest a tremendous amount of money in public relations efforts in order to fool us into believing that their mission is about improving our health. Anybody who thinks that drug companies' primary responsibility is anything other than maximizing their profits probably should believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy as well. As P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute.
Is there a place for Prozac?
You know, I again, Dr. Healy, I agree with Dr. Healy, Dr. Breggin, there's going to be a place for using some medications to help stabilize people. But should they be used forever? Hopefully not. We need to look for the root cause of the problem, and the drug is really just a red herring. It's making people passive and complacent and not looking any deeper to see what the real problem is.
Back to the phones. Diane, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Hi, Andy. I was listening. I'm very devastated at the most innocent children. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit upset.
We all are.
I was on Prozac, and I went to the Adelaide Street Bridge, and I was ready to jump off. That was in 2 weeks of being on Prozac. All my friends stayed away from me, and I was even running down the street saying, I want to kill people. That's not like me. And I found out when I did research, Prozac and all those other drugs are garbage.
You should report your side effects to Dr. Healy on his website, RXIS.
Okay, I will.
Diane, mm-hmm. My ears just perk up when I hear someone who is having a personal mm-hmm. experience. What are your thoughts about the relationship about mental issues, which so many people have, 25% of our kids, and the role of these powerful and sometimes very dangerous drugs?
I think they should try to look for other options. And there's always other options out there of taking things. I found an option of taking vitamins that made me much better than when I was on Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel much better today than I ever did, but my friends were scared of me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because of what happened. And when you're going down the street saying, I'm going to kill you all, like that, then, you know.
That's tragic.
For me, I didn't get put in the hospital, but I was going to go and jump off the Adelaide Bridge because my mind was so confused.
Wow, Diane. So much appreciate your courage in calling us and sharing that story, and so glad that you're still with us and you're on the mend. We have just a couple of moments left. Pam, what's the advice here for parents? First, about these drugs, which doctors hand out like Smarties.
Yeah, I think that really they need more training in nutrition and biochemistry. They're not being trained properly in the medical schools. And that's the long and the short of it, Andy. If they knew more about nutrition and correct nutrition, not the misinformation we're getting from Health Canada with this high carbohydrate, low fat diet, that's what's causing the problem. And doctors don't know it. In fact, over 90% of them are still recommending a low fat diet, which is incorrect. We need the cholesterol for our nervous system. We need the cholesterol for our brains.
Your book is called Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. And this was written how many years ago?
Just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in there.
Yeah.
Any other advice for parents before we let you go on if they, and we had so many of them on the show today about where they need to start to look?
Well, if they want to listen to a lot of my radio shows, I talk in my radio shows about the importance of animal fat and mood. So if you want, they could go to my website, pamkaleen.com, and just go to my multimedia page. If they want to friend me on Facebook, I'm constantly posting information about the importance of animal fat. And they can't hold on to this lie any longer. I mean, more and more people are catching on to how we've been duped with regards to this high carbohydrate, low fat diet and the damages that it's causing.
Pam Killeen, wow, what a wake up call the whole thing in Connecticut is about so many issues, but wow, what a different spin on it. Pam, thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Going to take a short break. When we come back in the next